Anyway, I was feeling a bit wild the other day when I heard that the Auckland City Council had voted against bringing in Māori wards for the 2024 local body elections. And I was sad to hear that. I think they're out of step with the rest of the country. But look, I thought it would be great to talk to a long-standing Auckland City Councillor, and that's Alf Filipina. And Alf joins us now. Kia ora, Alf. Nice to have you on Radio Wātea this evening.
Kia ora, kia ora, te rangatira. Good to be on the show with you. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Well, look, thank you very much for making the time. And I guess you've been in hot demand, Alf, because I know that you have spoken in favour of having Māori wards. And I thought that surely, as the biggest, well, it's first of all, it's the biggest Polynesian city in the world, and it certainly has the biggest Māori population in this country. And yet, it was a close, what would you call it, vote. But still, nevertheless, it did not pass. And so that says to me that people are either they don't know what they should know by now, that Māori do want to see themselves having representation around the council table, or that they just don't, the councillors are just not brave enough to put their hands up to this significant issue that's facing our biggest city.
No, they knew. They knew how important it was. We've been discussing this since 2017, and I mean, every time I've been asked questions on it, I've always told them that those that are part Māori or Māori on the governing body of Auckland Council, they do not have the mandate to speak on behalf of Māori, especially with the four wellbeings. And so they knew that, and when they used the argument, "Oh no, look, we just need a little bit more time." Well, I would say that time was over ages ago, and all you had to do was vote for it. You didn't, so therefore, then there has to be some accountability for your vote, and for those that have Māori in their ward, I hope they think about their vote in 2025. They knew.
Well, yes, that's I think you're right, Alf. I'm sure that they did know, and this has been discussed, and surely they saw last year all around the country how I think there must have been about 37 councils for the very first time went to the local body elections last year with the result that there would be Māori on those councils. Now, surely that would have sent a big signal. But you're right. And unless you've got, you can't continue to say, "Oh, but I represent everybody." Well, no, you don't. Because if you did,
Exactly.
then you would know who that community is, which is not insignificant up in Auckland.
No, totally agree. And I think one of the things that really highlights what some of those councillors who voted against setting up a Māori ward, what was interesting is Councillor Hills, who was Ngāpuhi, part Ngāpuhi, but he voted for the establishment of a Māori ward. But he made a point during the debate to say, "Well, only two people out of the 21 around that table said they didn't support Māori seats, but we lost it 11-9. So where were these other people who voted against it, saying they support Māori wards, but they voted against it? Where were they? They were lying. They
Yeah.
if they were supportive of establishing a Māori ward, they would have voted for it. But like always, they say, "Oh, look, I support, but when it came to the vote, no, I'm against it." So look, it's not surprising, and if our community wants to have a look, especially in Tāmaki, to see who voted against these, especially long-term and long-time councillors like Councillor Fletcher, Councillor Lee, even Councillor Newman, who was at Manukau with me. You had the deputy mayor, Councillor Simpson, Councillor Stewart, I knew that she'll be voting against it. New term of Councillor Turner, you know, the first time. And, you know, it's just so disappointing but angry when they say they support Māori wards but then vote against establishing one. So, you know, that's how they are. They need to be made accountable. So, yeah, it's very... Yes, I was angry and very disappointing as to the vote.
Yes, well, it must have been. And I don't expect you to comment really, Alf, but I'll tell you something. I was surprised that your mayor abstained. I would have thought he would have seen the benefit and he would have spoke accordingly. Because obviously, if the mayor speaks at some stage, never usually right at the start, but if he was to speak somewhere towards the end, he could have talked about the value of having the added value that councillors who are Māori and can bring a wider perspective and know their community well and can certainly relay what some of those issues are from the Māori perspective, that he actually abstained. And I thought that was a bit gutless, to be, if I'm being frank. He abstained, and that's not the sort of leadership that I like.
Yeah, look, I got surprised from that vote because he is the mayor of Tāmaki Makaurau of Auckland Council, and I would have thought he would have put a line in the sand in regards to Māori wards. So from my perspective, I totally agree. It was disappointing that he made that choice, and he needs to be asked about why, because you never know that during the debate, if he had said something, that the substance of what he was saying could have moved or changed one of those council laws who voted against, may have changed their minds in regards to voting against the establishment of a Māori ward. Therefore, then, it would have had a 10-10 and... Well, it would have been 11-10 to establish, but that's something he needs to never forget. And, the fact that he abstained. But, you know, that's on him. Hey, Whaia, that's on him. I have to say that listening through our Māori organisations and Mana Whenua on the 2nd of October, it was good how they supported the parliamentary model, and it was sad to hear some of the racist comments that you heard on the 2nd of October, but also by the guy Newman. I was just amazed around some of the racial comments he made at the governing body meeting. So, you know, I feel sorry for them because the majority of those that came to speak on the 2nd and on the day we made the vote, they're just ignorant and they choose not to end up getting the whakapapa to the Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and they only have their own view, which is totally wrong, and saying, look, we are one people. Well, we've got the Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and there's mana whenua, there is Māori, and they deserve to be around the governing body table. I feel sorry for them because the majority are ignorant.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, sometimes I always say, Alf, that, you know, I can understand if people don't know. But if they choose to remain ignorant, that is an indictment on them. And so, and you see, I don't want to see people in leadership today who do not know what about Te Tiriti and who do not know about the obligations not only of central government but on local government as well. And as you say, you were possibly looking at having 2 out of 21 councillors, councillor positions, 2 out of 21, possibly, And they just couldn't see the value in that. I tell you something, I would say if you know, you just never know. Something could happen in Tamaki Makaurau. And if the Māori decides, we're not going to support the council, then they'd be up the creek without a paddle. And that would serve the bloody council right. Not the council, I'm saying, but it would serve those councillors right who didn't vote for the establishment of a Māori ward in 2024. It would serve them right, because I'll tell you what, it could cost the ratepayers substantially.
Totally agree. That's why the full well-being, because if they're looking for a paddle and they haven't got a waka or a canoe, I'm going to watch from the bank and hold on to my hoi and the paddles, so then they can just look over to the beach and see me holding them and them looking for one to try and help them steer their waka, because I won't be helping them. And I mean, you know, the issue I raised, and especially with Kieran Leone, with Kieran, with Angela Dalton, I mean, some of the things they said, Josephine Bartley, for example, when she ended up saying, no, I don't want to support this recommendation because of what this guy Newman said. But, you know, the four well-beings, everybody knew that if there was a Māori ward set up at Tāmaki Makaurau, it will be the ratepayers on the Māori ward who will vote for that person, he or she. And that person would end up having the mandate of Māori to speak on their behalf. I don't. I mean, I've been around that table in Manukau now for 19. I don't have the mandate. No. I got voted in by those at the Manukau ward, but at least there was an opportunity. And, you know, with the social, economic, environmental and cultural well-being of our communities, that person, he or she, would have had the mandate from Māori. And I would have supported that. And 9 people did. 11 didn't. And obviously the mayor ended up abstaining. But, you know, it's 2008 is the next opportunity. I hope in 2028, I'm hoping that in 2028 there are a better people around that table who would end up realising that the purpose of the Māori ward, I hope that there are more people around that table and then end up saying, yes, we need to have a Māori voice who has the mandate to speak on Māori and Māori issues in 2028.
Yes, well, I do know that because you and I both know Andrew Judd. And when I talked to Andrew, and somebody was telling me today, I can't remember where he was. Oh, no, of course, he was on Marae yesterday. That's right. I didn't see it, Alf. But somebody texted me to say, look, but I was actually at a meeting. So, but he was on yesterday on Marae talking about obviously the difficulty that he's experienced, or that he did experience in the New Plymouth District Council. You know, of course, he was vilified, as you know, and then, threatened and goodness knows what else. And but then he talked about the value of having somebody there that can absolutely guide and help councils as well. So, you know, it's just a shame. And then, of course, I was absolutely so pleased when Nanaia, as the Minister of Local Government, she just moved that through and just said that councils will need to decide. And, of course, all around the country, I think 30 councils took it upon themselves, yes, to consult, but certainly they knew that this is what their community was, and particularly their Māori community, was asking of them. They wanted to know that councils would be receptive to having somebody there who knew about their aspirations, and that as a councillor you must know who is in your electorate or in your ward. You've got to know that there are people there that we're not all the same. And the Māori, yep, the Māori issues deserve the same weight of consideration as any other issue that comes to the, comes before the council.
No, I you know, what you've just said is exactly what was put on the table. And again, you have those 11 that ended up voting against it. But, you know, the interesting thing for us, when they ended up saying, oh, you have to listen to the people who didn't want to establish Māori wards. Well, those people, 68%, were individuals.
Yes.
What I pointed out and others pointed out at the meeting of the governing body was, you have a look at the organisations. I mentioned Waipareira. I mentioned Te Akatai Waiuhua. I mentioned Hoane Waititi, Rua Pōtaka Marae. There were about 8 organisations that ended up supporting the parliamentary model, and those people that stand behind them. But those councillors that voted against establishing the ward, they took that one organisation as one group. They didn't take on board how many people that they represented, especially with their mana whenua, who supported the parliamentary one, which was that. And you spoke about our rangatira, Nanaia, Honourable Nanaia Mahuta. She also took away, as you know, Fire, she also took away the binding referendum. So just because we had 68% and those individuals, just because we had that, that wasn't binding. We all took into account some of their views, but they only took those organisations, like I mentioned, Māori organisations, they only looked at them as one submission. They had quite a few thousand people behind them. That's what was so disappointing. But again, they knew that, and they didn't want to take into those people, our Māori community, behind those organisations. They chose not to, and chose to look at that organisation as one submission. So that's why they just did it, so then they could justify their vote against setting up a Māori ward.
Yeah. Yes, you're quite right. Those Māori entities, you know, particularly like Waipareira and others, they've got a few thousand members there. So, you know, yes, it is very sad. And when the vote was taken, and of course it was, you know, the decision was, you know, taken and made there and then, what was the reaction? Because there would have been members of the public there.
There wasn't that many of our Māori community. I mean, but those that who were there who wanted to get these established, and in particular our Māori staff. But there were some Māori in the gallery, and they were, you know, their heads went down, and the looks on their faces, like the 9 of us that voted for them, you know, they were sad, and you could see it. The interesting thing is those that were there who ended up supporting not supporting it, the people in the gallery. Interesting, they were doing snide remarks and comments when councillors were talking, but when the camera turned around to see who was, you know, giving those remarks back, the cowards ended up hiding their faces.
They're
cowards. You know, they end up sniping behind and, you know, talking when people are talking, especially in the council. But then when they there's a possibility of them getting on TV or noticed, they hide their faces because they're cowards.
Yeah.
You know, they've been cowards, but that's how they operate. So, it was interesting to know that when I spoke to one of the reporters, and she said, if we heard them with the little snide remarks, but when the camera turned around to see who was throwing these snide remarks, they hid their faces. You know, cowards. That's what they are.
Well, they're on the wrong side of history, that's for sure. Because when you see what happened all around in other places, New Plymouth last year, other places as well, Palmerston North, Rotorua even, you know, all of those places last year. So it's on the wrong side of history. But I think what is the absolutely shame, what I think is so shameful, it is the biggest Polynesian city in the world, and it has the biggest Maori population of any city in Aotearoa. And those people who are, you know, on council, they just don't get it. They just obviously just don't get it. And so that's not the type of leadership that I want to see. I was surprised at not only the mayor abstaining, but certainly the deputy mayor. I mean, you've got the two leaders of, you know. So, you know, but good on you, Al, for speaking there, because it must have been a disappointment to you as well.
Oh, there was. That's why I take my hat off to Karen Leone here. You know, that's the first of a mana whenua wahine toa. That's on council. Richard Hills has been there, and I take my hat off to him as, you know, another part Māori. But the other six, I say thank you. Thank you for standing up for Māori. And, yeah, I was pissed off, and I said that to one of the reporters. But, you know, that's what we have to put up with, where some people say they support Māori wards, but I'm voting against establishing them. It just, you know, reminds you of the forked tongue.
Oh, yes, it does. And it also tells you about the fragility of the Pākehā. You know, they are so fearful that if maybe two Māori get onto the city council, even though there's another 19 on the other side in terms of, you know, other councillors, you know, they get fearful. They think there's going to be, I presume there's going to be a takeover, or all the Māori issues are going to be then having to be considered alongside of other issues. And it's very, very sad that people would be so fearful, that they're so fearful that they actually cannot think straight and evaluate the value that would come from having Māori at the table. It's pathetic, it's sad, and it also tells you a lot about how Pākehā still think in this country after all these decades.
Now, you've covered everything that was in my head, saying, I feel sorry for you people. I really do, because you just covered everything in just that statement. And yeah, you're right. I just feel sorry for them. They're just so ignorant. They're cowards when they were there. Yeah,
you know. So you've got now. It's been a year now since last year's local body election, and of course you've been such a long-standing and valued member of the Auckland City, elected member of Auckland City Council. And so, how's it been going? Because you had a new mayor, and you also had quite a number of new councillors too, didn't you? From last year.
Yeah. So we had Morris Williamson come in. Mike Lee came back in onto council, and really apart from that, Karen Leone, Ken Turner, there was really there wasn't that much. Plus, obviously Wayne, so there wasn't that much after the election. But then again, you know, you have, for example, Karen Leone, who's a new councillor for the Whau ward, and then you have Ken Turner out west, two totally different votes, and also one sort of, look, I do support Māori wards, but I'm going to vote against it. Maybe there's some accountability there. But, you know, there wasn't that many that came back on, new ones, because Mike Lee had been there. But that's why it was just a shame listening to some of them, you know, who have been there since 2017, since the corridor we had around Māori wards. But then again, knowing those people around the table since I've been there in 2010, I'm not surprised that I support it, but I'm going to vote against it. I'm not surprised, because that's how they are.
Yes. Well, you'd certainly, that's right, you'd certainly have some insight into their thinking. And of course, you know, they're not going to rock the boat, and they want to get re-elected next year. So, you know, and I'm sure the deluge that we heard of emails going into all the inboxes of councillors. So they would have been swayed by that. You know, it takes a courageous and brave person to do the right thing. And when they come under fire, oftentimes they buckle at the knees and decide, no, I just can't do it. I just don't have the courage to do it.
Yep, totally agree. That's why I acknowledge the other eight colleagues of mine that voted for the establishment of Māori Wards. I do take my hat off to them, because some of them, like Karen, have come on just recently since the last election, and she stood her ground, put a line in the sand. Others that have been there, a previous term or even 6-7 years, they ended up putting a line in the sand and voted for him. So I take my hat off and acknowledge them for doing that. Totally agree.
Yes. Oh, well, it looks as if, it'll be a while, and it'll be a while, but it's coming. I suppose it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And so it will get there. And but anyway, you've still got lots of. Hey, tell me, Alf, what committees are you on? Do you chair one of the committees, one of the standing committees?
No, there was. I'll tell you, in private what had happened. But there was something. I stood my ground basically, and as a result, I ended up. On a chair of none of them, but I'll let you know. But I don't want it publicly. But I can tell you, if Huck gives me the call, your contact phone, I'll tell you what happened.
Yes, well that does happen, doesn't it? You know, sometimes. Yeah. Gosh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You take a stand and you say, no, this is it. This is the poe in the ground. And Nick Minnett, you're not the flavour of the month, and you don't even get a deputy chair's position. I know how that goes.